Okay, now, what is your name, sir?
Andrew Barnett.
Okay, Mr. Barnett, the computer's here, let's see, who's doing Mr. Barnett? Who's doing?
I have him.
Okay, Honorable Mr. Johnson, please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, sir, how are you this afternoon? Okay, so you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Could you please state your full name and your ABC number for us for the record?
Andrew Barnett, Jr., 33224.
Okay, Mr. Barnett, I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are conducting your hearing this morning. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chair. To my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson, I'm going to be acting as your hearing lead this morning, this afternoon. Mr. Barnett, you are, I'm going to go over some information with you. As I go over that information with you, sir, if there's anything that you need to correct or that's not right, then you can certainly correct me on that, okay? Okay, I do want to also acknowledge, sir, that you do have one supporter here, Ms. Rosalie.
Yes.
Okay.
Two
of you here, okay, that are here in support of you. So they'll have an opportunity to also speak while we're conducting your hearing today, okay? All right, so you are actually, your parole had been granted, you've been revoked, and you're actually serving a lifetime sentence for deadly assault by a prisoner, which occurred while you were in custody serving kidnapping on robbery charge, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, the kidnapping on robbery charge, they have all expired, and the only sentence you have is this life sentence for death, is that okay?
It was a deadly assault, but no one died.
Right, deadly, yes, I'm sorry, it wasn't deadly, I said death, but it wasn't deadly assault. You are currently 66 years old, sir?
66, yes.
Okay, so according to your Ames report, for the time that you were incarcerated, you did have quite a bit of citation, but it shows here that your last citation that you have received since being incarcerated was back in 2011, and that was for disobeying a burglary, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so according to the information that we have here in your Ames report, looks like you were granted parole back in 1981, and then you had a special hearing that was not recommended to the governor in 1995, and then it looks like in '06, you were granted parole to your next consecutive sentence. Then it looks like in October of '13, you were granted home arrest, you got out in October of '13 of home arrest. And then it looks like on March or April of '14, you went from home arrest to regular parole. Is that about right?
Yes.
Okay, then it looks like on March 9th of '17, you had a parole. Your parole was revoked in '17, in March of '17. It looks like that you came back in October of '17, and you were granted home arrest. However, it looks like on April 5th of '18, you had a revocation hearing, and your parole was, your home arrest parole was revoked. Is that right? Okay, so it does look like in '17 and '18 that you've taken quite a few classes during that period of time that you've been in '17 and '18. And then also, prior to that, it looks like you had some other classes. So you have had quite a bit of programming since you've been incarcerated, sir. I do want to go over some court sentence documents that we actually have here that you were actually in prison, as I said earlier, for the armed robbery. This current sentence that you have a life sentence for occurred. in 1980, and based on the...
The provision, yes, the provision was in 80, the incident was in 70.
Okay, so in 80, you got convicted, and that's when you got the lifetime sentence. And this, basically, I'm just gonna kind of summarize what happened is actually involved a correctional officer. Basically says that the correctional officer, you had a table and some plastic up in your cell that instructed you to take it down. If you refused to take it down, that the officer came in and was taking down the cardboard table, and while he was inside there taking down the plastic, that you stabbed him with
That's not correct. That had this sentence had nothing to do with an officer.
Okay. Who was it then, sir?
It was with Phil Inney.
Okay. Well, it's just my misunderstanding, and looking through here, I thought it was another officer, a correction officer, that actually was the person that was in there. So this was an inmate that came in your cell and started taking down the stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what was going on during that period of time, sir? That...
Another prisoner came to my space and with me.
Uh-huh. So why did he want to take down the items in your cell?
The prison was a different type of prison at that time.
It was what?
And, the prison was a different type of prison than it is today.
Uh-huh.
People did a lot of things then that they wouldn't do today.
Okay. Well, sir, I did see that you did have fire, that you did have a criminal history. But let's talk about the times that you were actually released from prison.
Yes.
So, why is it that, you know, explain to me, you know, you were released. One time you came out, you did good, you were on home arrest, then you went to regular parole, you got revoked, and then after that you wind up getting released again on home arrest and wind up getting revoked, sir. So what is the... What is the issue with that, with getting out and going back in?
Well, sir, the reason I'm back down is because I didn't put a certain stop on my itinerary, such as stop at the stop, going to the cigarette store. So those stops were not on my itinerary. And that's why I'm back down.
So you're saying that you're revoked?
And I know that I could be revoked for McDonald's or Burger King or something that I got sent to my way home from an appointment. I never would have made no stop. But I had no idea that I would be revoked for doing things like that. I wasn't being late at the moment. I wasn't leaving without authorization. It was from an appointment. On my way home, I made stops that was not on my approved itinerary. And that's why I was broke.
So, sir, when you was on parole and 2013, you were on home arrest, and you went from home arrest to regular parole. So when you were on home arrest in 2013, the same policy applied that you had to fill out your itinerary, and you had to stick with that itinerary. So why did you not stick with that itinerary and when you were last discharged?
I don't know. Maybe it's because I had out the first time, I had a job. Maybe they were more lenient about it, I don't know. But I know that I should have to stop at gas stations or stop at a store. And for a long time, I was riding the bus before I started driving my own vehicle. So I don't know, maybe they were more lenient about it. But I didn't think I was violating by stopping for getting a sandwich on my way home. Or picking up an ingredient at a store.
my way home. I didn't think those type of stops were in any way a violation. And I could imagine that I would never have made such stops if they weren't absolutely necessary.
So what about the failure to submit the UN's for UA back in March?
When that happened, my people called me and asked me if I didn't go in and submit a UA. My response was not to get submitted to the UA. I told them today, which was 2 days before they called me, on a Wednesday. And he told me that I had another UA. My son came up the very next day on Thursday. And I couldn't argue that because I was thinking I couldn't remember whether or not I called in to check my brother or not. So I didn't argue with him. He told me to go submit a UA later on that day. I did. He told me to come into his office. I did. And he told me my UA was good, so I didn't have to worry about that. He said, don't let that happen again. And that I had to call in every day. And I realized that what had happened was, I took the UA on Wednesday, so Thursday morning I called in to check my cover. And he came up the very next day. But, you know, I had to eat that. That was my fault. I should have called in. I forgot.
Okay, so according to the report, it says that the one where you went to the Walmart in the store, allegation number two, that the parole officer had stopped you on three prior occasions to tell you about the importance of sticking and staying with your itinerary, sir.
Yes, he had.
Okay, so.
This is what I'm saying. I didn't consider those stops going out of the way or anything like that. I didn't consider that as. They were on my way home from approved appointments that was on my itinerary. So stopping at a Burger King or going to a 99-cent store and then I had the responsibility of making sure the house phone worked. And I went to a Walmart looking for batteries to see if they had rechargeable batteries, which they didn't have. So from there I came home. But I wasn't driving around trying to socialize with anyone or do anything. I was trying to do everything right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told I was arrested. I was exactly where I was supposed to be at the time. And I couldn't argue about those stops because I did make those stops. But I didn't even consider those stops. I didn't get out the vehicle. Didn't turn the motor off. I was going for a burger. And the 99-cent store was a stop, Walmart was a stop. I did go into those stores. But by the time I got home, I still had $2 on my itinerary to be out. So I'm just trying to get what I needed to go out there.
So Mr. Barnett, what's your understanding of the itinerary and what you have to do? What's your understanding of it now, sir?
My itinerary now is that whatever ain't on it, don't even attempt it. To make up my itinerary based on what I know I'm gonna do. And if something comes up and I need to make any kind of stop, to call my PO or text them, if I get in touch with him. If I can't get in touch with you, don't stop. Go on. My main thing is to be home out with my wife and my family. And she can do something running around. We discuss this. And if it ain't on my itinerary, I'm not doing it.
All right, sir. I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you. Say no questions coming from the board, so I do know that you have. Ms. Wellesley, if you want to come up and just state your full name and then present the information that you'd like to present to the board.
Hi, my name is Wellesley.
You have to talk a little bit louder if you don't mind because you've been in this recording.
Hi, my name is Wellesley and I am Andrew's wife. I didn't take his name because It involves a lot of professional stuff, so I check my name.
Okay.
I just want to say that Andrew and I met in 2014, and I had never had even a traffic ticket up until I got 3 speeding tickets in 1 year. But and I had never dealt with anything, but he is a wonderful man in that, you know, if I anything that I ask him to do, he will do for me. And I'm not taking responsibility for it, but I said to him, I need some carrots. So on his way home, he stopped and got carrots. So that's what he's talking about. He stopped at the 99-cent store. But that all put aside, I'm really tired of this. And I've told Andrew that I'm really tired of this. And he has said, and he has promised, that he is going to walk a chalk line if he is granted parole again, because he'll be 67 years old in 2 weeks. And I haven't spent one birthday with him because of his in and out. And we've been married for 3 years, and we've only been together 1 year because of him being in and out. Because each time, excuse me, he's been in for 10 or 11 months, so you might as well consider that a year. So he did talk to me about it, and he said that his plan was to go home and keep his behind home. If he does that, he'll stay out. If he doesn't, he'll come back in. And unfortunately, I'm not going to go through this again. Strike 3, you're out.
So Miss Rosalie, what's your understanding of being on home arrest? And
well, my understanding now that I read it.
Yes, ma'am.
He said you go from point A to point B. I didn't realize that before, and besides that, when he was on home arrest before, they weren't that tight on him.
Uh-huh.
And when they talked to me about it, when Lou talked to me about it, he said, well, you guys will be able to go shopping 2 days a week, make the best of it, for 2 hours, 2 days a week, make the best of it, because you can't go out to dinner and you can't do anything like that. And I thought on that was, okay, we can't go to a restaurant. But one violation, I was on my way home and I stopped at Kentucky Fried Chicken. Didn't get out the car, I just went through the drive-thru because it was, oh, I didn't feel like cooking because I still work full-time too. And so now that I read all the papers, because as soon as he got arrested, I went through his papers, I read all the papers, and I said, okay, he has to go from point A to point B. It's not just a block of time that you're free. So it is what it is.
Okay. The board have any questions? Okay, I believe there was one more supporter that was here. Just come up and state your full name and.
My name is Yvonne Kramer, and Andrew is my brother. When he first got paroled, he came to live with me. I had set up, you know, my home so that he could stay there. We had the PO came over to check it out and make sure that everything was good, and he was pleased with what he saw because it looked like a, you know, nice home for him to come to. And he stayed with me as he worked. He went out, he got a job, and he was going to work every day on the bus, as he said. After a while, I realized, oh, wow, he's really doing great. He got his driver's license and everything. And my husband had just passed away a year before, and I still had his truck. So I allowed him to drive the truck to and from work because he was appearing to be really responsible. So for that first few years, he did everything right. As you mentioned, Mr. Johnson, as you mentioned, he was, you know, he was okay. He did things really well. He followed the rules. But I have to tell you, they were very, very lenient with him. He was able to do a lot of things that he wasn't allowed to do this time because I think it had to do with the fact that he'd been in prison for almost 40 years, and I think they were giving him a little bit more leeway. Because understanding that, you know, this is the first time he's had freedom in a long time. time. Anyway, so for those first few years, I think this is the person that we hope to see again soon. This person who is responsible, who loves his family, who loves his wife, who wants to be with family, and so I think one of the reasons that he was violated, if I'm not mistaken, is that he spent too much time at his sister's houses, trying to go and see all the family. So, if that's what violating means, that doesn't seem right to me, but a rule is a rule. If it says you can't do something, you don't do it. As he mentioned, you just don't do it. And, you have to get permission to do whatever. I think he learned after this time, as Rose was saying, you don't need to make a stop. Be hungry, go home and get something to eat. So, that's the way all that happens.
Okay, let me see if the board has any additional questions. They send no additional questions coming from the board. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Barnett, the board's coming up on a conclusion of your hearing, sir. Is there anything else you want to say to the board before we go into discussion?
Yes, I just want to state that I'm trying to live with all my life. I'm trying to do what's right. And I just hope this board would grant me another opportunity. Thank you.
Okay, so the board's going to go into discussion. A lot of boards in discussion. I want you to stay on the line so you can hear the conversation taking place amongst the board. And then, sir, I need you to remain silent, and when we make a decision, I will get back to you with the decision of the board, okay? Okay, the board is now going into discussion. This is in case Mr. Barnett has been released several times when he was first released, and 2013 he was granted home arrest. He did complete his home arrest and got to be paroled to where he had he was paroled to regular parole in 17, and then he had it in 14. He had 17. He had it revoked, and then he was given a home arrest again in 2017, I'm sorry. He got violated on a home arrest, was revoked because of his violation of his itinerary schedule violations. It's only information that we have it, and that I see in the report at this time. I do see that Mr. Barnett do have family support. He has his wife as well as his sister that's actually here. I'm just kind of going back over the information that we have to stop that Mr. Barnett did make. Where stops he said he made, he didn't admit to the first two, but when they went the second time and asked him did he make a stop, he did say he was at the 99-cent store and he went to Walmart. And he went to the Onatmar cigarette store on McKellum's Road. I think these places were all in line if he doesn't, but he said that he thought it wouldn't be that big a deal. He had 2 hours still left on the time that he had to be out from the DA, and he made the stops. I do think that Mr. Barnett is fully aware of the responsibility that he has to be on home arrest and maintaining his itinerary. I think that his wife has read over that paperwork now and has a full understanding that you go from point A to point B and that's it. You don't stop in between. You don't stop to get anything to eat. You don't stop at the store to do anything. And I think that Mr. Barnett is understanding of that. I am willing to give Mr. Barnett the opportunity to go back out on home arrest with the full understanding and restriction that that he actually has. I do want to also note that I do have some concerns because in 17, when he was violated for use of methamphetamine and cocaine. However, he did have a Miss UA in this last one, and in the Miss UA, he did go the next day and take the UA after that, and it was negative at this time. So his previous one was for the cocaine and meth in 17 and 18. He was violated for not following his itinerary, but based on that, I'm willing to give him another opportunity to do it, as it appears that he was being legitimate, stopping at the stores to get something at the two stores that he actually stopped at, was the Walmart and the cigarette store that he actually stopped at. So, but I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. That's my opinion. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I'm not feeling quite as optimistic, I guess. I remember when we initially voted to grant home arrest, that I felt very strongly that his wife would keep him on the straight and narrow. I felt like she would be a really strong presence, and not that it's her responsibility, but that was one of the reasons I was in support. And it just appears that hasn't been the case, and she didn't know the rules, and he, who knew the rules, still violated. So I'm not feeling quite so comfortable.
Any other comments, Mr. Kenyon?
I just want to say I'm in a very similar position to my colleague, Ms. Rittenhouse. Thank you.
I have some optimism about in 17, because he did have the use of methamphetamine and the use of cocaine that he actually had in 17, which is why he was violated in 17. However, it does appear that he was not doing drugs. He was taking his UAs. He did miss one UA, and that UA that he missed, he did go the next day and have it. However, he did. Did violate his itinerary, and basically, according to the report, it appears that the PO had talked to him, you know, three other times prior about sticking with his itinerary, and he didn't stick with his itinerary. But I'm still kind of willing to give him another opportunity. Although he's been out twice, this will be his third time that he would actually be getting out. And my only reason for doing that is that the locations he went to were a Walmart and the cigarette store that he actually went to. I tell you, I'm just having I'm having a tough time is that. In 17, he was the drugs, the use of a meth. It was 16, the use of methamphetamine and cocaine. But his drug tests had all been positive negative since that time. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to going to make a motion to grant Mr. Barnett home arrest, return him back to home arrest. That'll be my motion at this time. Okay, so I made a motion to grant him home arrest. I am going to, since I don't hear anything else, I'm going to just say that I'm going to assume everyone else is disagreeing, and then I'm going to ask for a counter motion. Is that Ms. Rittenhouse?
I will move that we deny general parole, home arrest, and absolute discharge for Mr. Barnett.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by Ms. Rittenhouse.
Yes.
Second by Mr. Neal, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Agreed, Dr. Wright. Agreed, Mr. King Nelmos, and I just disagree. So thank you for the motion. So I'm also going to mark on here that I did make the motion, but I didn't get any comments, but that Mr. Wright, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones, and Ms. Rittenhouse all disagree. I'm going to mark that. Correct?
Yeah.
Release type to 412A for alert on home arrest. And I'm going to mark the reason for denial. This is a serious and violent offense, serious leaving offense, serious bodily injury. I'm going to mark the history of continued substance abuse that he did violate. He had a history of assaultive behavior, prior criminal history. I'm also going to mark poor institutional behavior, although it wasn't recent that he's been in and out, so that's, I'm going to go ahead and mark that. It doesn't have any recent disciplinary infraction. It does have a history of assaultive behavior. I'm not going to mark lack of program, nor am I going to mark poorly release plan or no family or community support, because I do see that his wife and his sisters are here in support.
But finally, in previous probation and parole.
Yes.
Thank you.
So is there anything else that we need to mark? I'm also, I don't think this is eligible for the 1 year setup.
I don't know if
it's. Okay, Mr. Barnett.
Yes.
So you heard the discussion taking place amongst the board. The board has voted to deny you parole for absolute discharge, home arrest, or regular parole. You will be certified eligible within the next 6 months or so by the Department of Corrections to come back before this board for a hearing, sir. I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for participating in your hearing today, sir. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. Could you please put the seal, have the seal three come in, or have the next person come in.
Yes.
All right.